Did all of you have a nice Easter?
Yes.
I did. We had ours last night. Well, we celebrated with our family last night, and it was delightful. Way too much food. We had a wonderful time. It's up. I love seeing the purple, the white, and the crown of thorns. But more than anything, I love seeing an empty cross. You know? It's good stuff. I would like you to turn with me to Acts 1. I swear I won't be dyslexic today and get you in the wrong spot. Acts 1, verse 1. Give me an amen when you're there. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. Father God, we commit this scripture to you. We commit this service to you. And we pray that that very same Holy Spirit that you we're speaking of in your word would come and fill each and every one of us right now. I pray that you would so fill me today, Father, that when I'm speaking, people aren't seeing Mary, they are seeing you through your Holy Spirit. That, Father, everything I say today, that it would be pleasing to you. Father, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and that I may not say a word more or a word less, but everything to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So, what now? Last week, and Tom, that's the title, so what now? Last week, Sunday, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, and I love Easter. It's the ultimate reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, his agony, his crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. As Christians, that is the ultimate comeback story. So, he arose. What now? For Christians, what now? Well, like the disciples, if you're a normal Christian, you're wondering that same thing. What now? You know, when we're teaching on Wednesday nights, we go through all the way up until Jesus is born, and then it doesn't seem like any time at all. These kids are like, boy, did he grow up fast, because now we're talking about him being, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection and all that. There was a lot of time span between that, kids. But we wonder, what now, once that resurrection is done? When Jesus was on earth, he discouraged his disciples from expecting a temporal. Now, when he says temporal, that means a worldly, or as opposed to spiritual, kingdom. He didn't want them thinking about an earthly kingdom. He wanted their minds set on a spiritual kingdom. But the idea was so deeply ingrained into the Jews that, and to the disciples, that they couldn't even help themselves. The first thing they asked, the last thing they asked after his resurrection, he had been showing himself to them for 40 days. He showed them that he was alive and told them things about God's kingdom. Now, what do you suppose the final question was? The final question for Jesus before he ascended. Anybody got an idea? What about the earthly kingdom? They still had that so ingrained in them. The final question to Jesus from his disciple was an inquiry concerning the restoration of the Jewish monarchy. Now, Jesus was kind but firm in his reprimand. The Father has the future planned, and we are not to worry ourselves with that which has been reserved for him. The true task for believers, for us, is that we be a witness for Christ. Right where we are today, the disciples were promised a visit of enabling power to help them spread the gospel message. People, that same enabling power is available for us today, and it is the Holy Spirit. It helps us. I don't know how many of you find it hard to witness to people. You can be a little nervous, a little bit like, do I want to say something? Am I going to offend them? You know, the Holy Spirit, if you pray for his infilling, will help you through those times of indecision of whether to open your mouth or whether to step back. That is what we are supposed to be praying for. As Jesus finished speaking, while they were still watching, I love this, Jesus was taken up into heaven. While they're standing there in amazement, watching, put yourself there just for a second. Put yourself there and imagine. You're talking to him and all of a sudden, and you're thinking, whoa. And suddenly, two guys that you've never heard them before say, what do you think you're doing? What? They just scared the bejeebies out of me. Wouldn't you? All of a sudden, two guys saying, where is he? Or what are you doing? What do you think I'm doing? Didn't you just see this dude raise up into heaven? It's not an everyday event. It spooked me out a little bit. Well, so what do you think? But they said, you're sitting there watching him, and the very same Jesus that you just saw raising up into the heaven, he's going to come back that same way. Now, I don't know about you. I got goosebumps thinking about it, and had I been there, I also would have been a little freaked out. So, nothing is clearer or plainer. Jesus ascended in the flesh. Now, remember, he had a glorified body at this time. But he was the same Jesus that they knew. This same Jesus is going to return again in the same way. This is the same message that has been told over and over throughout the centuries. This, my friends, is the vindication. This is our vindication for an evil world, that Jesus is going to return to this world of sin. Now, I don't want you to get confused. We believe in the rapture. And the rapture and the second coming are two separate events. The rapture is the return of Christ in the clouds to remove the believers. That's us. To bring us off of this earth before the time of God's wrath. the tribulation, the second coming. And if you want to look at that, check 1 Thessalonians 4. The second coming is when the believers come back with him to the earth, and that is before the Battle of Armageddon. Or, well, I shouldn't say before. It's during that time, after the tribulation. Jesus will return then. This is talking more about that. And I don't want you to get the two confused. Number one, the facts about Christ's return. The return of Jesus is not something that people have believed should happen. It is something that God, in his word, has made abundantly clear. It will happen. Turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 30. And it says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Then move to verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Or we can check Luke 21, verse 25 and 27. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, those are just a few references. There's a lot more. It is significant that there is a renewed emphasis in the world today about the return of Christ. You realize that even non-believers know that this world cannot go on the way it is. It's a mess. It is our hope. It is the only hope for our confused and troubled world. Listen, human ingenuity and governments have not been able to fix this mess, the mess of sin in this world. If anything, they have exacerbated the evil. And we're witness to a lot of that. Many people are coming to the conclusion that although we do still need to work to solve the problems in our country and in our world, the only permanent solution will be God's intervention by sending Jesus back. Number two, the purpose of Christ's coming. The return of Christ to earth will reveal his infinite glory and majesty. At Christ's second appearance, every eye shall see him in his total majesty. Now, I know some speculate that technology has come so far today that that's how the whole world will see him. I don't put God in that small of a box. I think he is so infinitely huge and big that I'm not sure that he can't appear to everybody on his own without technology. You got to think about it. God can hold the earth in the palm of his hand. You think he's big enough to show himself when he comes back to everybody without a television set or internet? Let's be honest. He is so powerful. And when it says with power and great glory, have you ever seen when a thunderstorm's heading your way and it's so powerful? You can see the lightning. You can hear that thunder from that far off. When they say power and great glory, I got to tell you, we're going to hear it. The people who are here are going to hear it. In his total majesty, that sends chills up my spine. The total majesty of Jesus Christ. As the second person of the Trinity. Think about that. He is part of the Trinity. That's how majestic he is. But as wonderful as all that will be, there's going to be sadness. After the tribulation, or after the rapture, excuse me, do you think there's people who are going to come to Christ after they see so many Christians vanish? You bet there will be. That's going to freak them down to their socks. They're going to all of a sudden remember all the things that have ever been told to them about, we are going to be gone. Christ is coming back for the believers. He is coming back for his church. Now, I got to tell you something. If I'm standing next to somebody who has been telling me that and all of a sudden they're gone, you better know I'm going to go back to seeing what they were talking about. I'm going to start researching it. I'm going to start praying and finding out. So there will be believers that come on the scene after the rapture. Lukewarm Christians who knew it, who knew about the rapture, but who never believed it in their heart, will all of a sudden have a revelation. The blinds will come off. They will know, oh my goodness, I've missed it. And they will turn to Christ. Because when you see people disappear and you know Christ has taken them, you better believe you're going to get right with God fast. You're going to want to know him. But it will be a time for judgment. For those people that even though they've seen this happen, even though they saw the rapture happen, they are hard-hearted. They aren't, my, bless my soul, I'm not believing that mumbo-jumbo stuff they're talking about. And they harden their hearts, and they will not receive Christ. Even after all the signs and miracles, they will not receive him. So there will be a time of judgment for those who refuse to receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. The Bible states that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. Eternal punishment awaits those who refuse to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number three, the nearness of Christ's coming. You know, there's many signs that the coming of Christ is near. But I think the biggest sign is that the Jews have been restored to their homeland. The second coming of Jesus has always been associated with the Jews coming back to their homeland. Do you know that especially through the Second World War, when the Jews were so terribly treated during, you know, in Germany, there was always the desire to be back in their own homeland. And that has never left them. They always want to go back to Israel. They want their own homeland. I'm Dutch. I couldn't give a rip if I go back to the Netherlands. I'm just being honest. That is not in me. That is not in my DNA. There is something special in those people that want that, you know, crave, that need to be in their own homeland. That is the pulling of Jesus Christ. That is the pulling of the Holy Spirit in them to know they have a place. They are God's people, and they need to be home. And that is so strong with them. And now they are there. They have their own homeland. You know, it's interesting to see how the nations of the world have divided themselves on the basis of being pro-Israel or anti-Israel. Have any of you noticed that? When you're watching, especially now with all that's going on in the news, there are people that are so either pro or anti. And it amazes me. It amazes me how the UN or the US feels that they somehow have a right to tell God's people who have been so savagely assaulted. Let's not mince words. They have been savagely assaulted. And we're trying to tell them how to handle it? How to deal with their enemy? I don't think they'd like my suggestion. Get rid of them. You know, Israel, you do what you've got to do. You protect yourself. The way I would tell any of you if someone was coming to try and hurt you or your family, protect yourself. But this is Mary. We'll leave it at that. All of these things, though, seem to be pointing to one climactic events. And it's all about the final battle. You know what I'm talking about? That battle of Armageddon. And in that battle, Israel will be the central figure. Moral and spiritual conditions have deteriorated, as the Bible predicted would happen right before the coming of Jesus. In this present day, it seems that we have an unparalleled falling away of godly living. This age of permissiveness has come upon us with such force that it leaves us wondering, how can we contend with it? The wickedness in high places threatens our national life, and not only here, but around the world. There is such evil. There is a turning away from sound doctrine to preachers that will tell you whatever you want to hear. It's all good. You're fine. You're living your best life. Never mind. They have turned away from the Word of God. And the biggest thing that I'm seeing is what is wrong is made to look right, and what is right is being made to look wrong. Do you know what God says to that? Woe to those people. Do you know what woe means? It's not good. Woe means there will be big trouble for you when you are trying to tell people that what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. We need to guard our hearts. So, what now? There is only one way to be saved. We celebrated it last Sunday. Believing in Jesus Christ, accepting Him, submitting to Him as not only Lord, but also our Savior. Now, if we turn ourselves over to Him, repent, and trust Him personally, it is the only way to be one of the ones who, as Pastor likes to call it, goes out on the first flight. And that's what I want. You think I want to stick around for what's coming? No. Jesus, take me out of here when you're ready. Last week, I felt it a lot. Can't you just buzz us up right now? I don't want to deal with this anymore. Give me a hands. Have any of you been there? Good heavens, yes. But we have a job to do. The business of Christians is to wait and to witness and to work until Jesus comes. We have a whole country. We have a whole state. We have a whole county. We have a whole city. We have a whole church of people who have not made that serious commitment for Jesus Christ. Many are not saved. They are looking at people, that second coming, in not a good way. They are looking at staying here until that judgment comes. If we don't speak up and draw them out of that fire into eternal life, I can't take my house, the car, any of that junk with me, nor do I want to. But I can take my family. I can take some of you. Praise Jesus. Even if I don't like you, I want you to go. Yeah. There's no one I don't like. But you know what I'm saying? I don't think I have found anyone I hate so much that I want to see them live an eternity in hell. How about you? Are you afraid to talk to your kids? Get over it. This is far, far too important to let it slide. Are you afraid to talk to a spouse? Get over it. This is far, far too important to let it slide. Are you afraid to talk to coworkers or your peers who might think you're odd or might not want to call you to do anything anymore? Get over it. That is our so what now? This is our moment, people. This is our time. We need to get pitter-patter, let's get at her. Because if Jesus' second coming is this close, Can you imagine how close the rapture is? You thought about that? It's sobering. It's coming. Whether you're ready or not, I like that. Ready or not, here it comes. It's on its way. And you've all here been warned. You have no excuse. You've been told. This is what's coming. This is what needs to be done. And you better get ready. I don't want to stand before a holy God someday and have him say, you know, I put this person in your path, I put this person in your path, I put this person in your path, and you were too scared to open your mouth and tell him anything about me? That's sobering. Pray for that Holy Spirit power. Pray that you get that infilling of the Holy Spirit so you have the courage. You know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. Wayne can find somebody, I don't care where he's at, he'll nail him. Those poor people down at Genesis, they got their hair blown back. But did I tell you I'm a pastor and he's ready to preach? Praise God for that. Jesus is our Savior now, but if he is rejected, his presence will be a terror to those who have ignored his grace. There have always been disagreements among sincere Christians concerning the events of Jesus' coming. And there will be until it happens. I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. This is what the Lord laid on my heart. But the one thing we can all agree on is that he is coming. And we better be doing our best to lead as many people out of the fire before it's too late. Let's pray. Father God, you have given us a commission today. You have laid before us what is the important thing. We want to know, so now what? What do we do now? You've told us what we do now. We get busy in work. We pray for your infilling of the Holy Spirit to help us when we see those who are heading to a life of hell. We pray that same Holy Spirit will give us the courage to lead people gently, lovingly into the arms of Jesus. We repent, Father. Yes, we are believers, but we repent before you for being shy, for being inactive, for being unloving, and for just being downright lazy and scared to tell people about you. We repent for our lost opportunities, missed opportunities. We repent for not living in a way that shows people that we are different. We are Christians. We are little Christs. There are things that I've done in my life and still do sometimes, Lord, that I'm sorry. That I'm sure you shake your head and say, oh, no, 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 don't do that. As with everyone. But you still love us and you still call us to repent, to be forgiven, and to draw people to you. And that is where we're at today, Lord. Give us what we need to draw people to you. Father, we thank you for being with us here today. Holy Spirit, I thank you for being a part of our worship, a part of this sermon today. And once again, Lord, I pray that anything that Mary has said can be forgotten, but only your word, what you want these people to receive, will be left in their hearts and in their minds, Lord. We ask that you would bless every person here today. Bless them with a wonderful week, that you are in control of everything. Let us never forget, you have your hand on absolutely everything. So bless them as they go. Give them a wonderful week. And Father, bring us here safely again next week so we can once again worship you and hear from your word. We ask all these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.